barely gets it out. The Mavericks come down. 2-on-1. They walk right in. Here's a shot, and they miss the net. Huskins got back in time. And Jackson now will skate it up to the red line. He has it. He'll shoot. Score! Jay Jackson with the goal! Wins it for the Huskies! 4:53 left to go in overtime. Unbelievable. Michigan Tech has pulled off this miracle against Minnesota State, and they're going to the championship game next weekend.
And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Sean, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Time for a Michigan Tech Hockey update here on Mix 93 WKMJ with head coach Joe Sean, who is with us on a Monday, taking some time off of his off-season duties. And there is no off-season for the coaches, just for the players. Well, actually, really none for the players either. You can put those on, coach, if you want. Joe Sean is with us, though, and we appreciate him stopping on in, because this is about the time the time after the season's over to when people start, they want to hear a little bit more about what's going on with Michigan Tech hockey to get an update, and we appreciate you coming in, Coach. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how's your month and a half so far since the season been? Pretty busy, I would imagine.
It's been good. We've been on the road a little bit recruiting and watching some players and been in the office doing some things and doing some maintenance work, so it's been good so far.
How about the NHL playoffs? That there have been some great, really, really fun games.
Great hockey
to watch.
It's tremendous hockey. The parity in the league is incredible. I couldn't tell you, I mean, from series to series, who's going to win. I don't know if there's any clear-cut favorites. And I couldn't tell you who's going to win the Stanley Cup. I don't think there's any clear-cut favorites. So the hockey's been absolutely great. I would have probably picked Boston over Tampa, and Tampa handled them relatively easily. Winnipeg looks great. You know, there's a lot of teams that look very good. Vegas, you know, if you watch them last night, they're as tight as any team you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as their coverages, their switches, their how they operate, they just don't beat themselves. So it's great hockey.
And the NHL having so much great coverage and exciting series is nothing but for the game in general through the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great. Yeah, and the game is spreading more and more all over. But it's enjoyable. We were in Vegas, as you know, and the excitement there was crazy, wasn't it? And now we were there. I think there was a game the day after the day we were leaving, a game that night. So we got to see a little bit of the buzz. But I mean, they've taken the game by storm there. So I mean, they've had hockey in Vegas for a while. They had the Thunder in the American League years ago and things like that. But so it's not a new thing to the area, but it's relatively new, and it's certainly new on this grand scale. So I can only imagine how football is going to be in that city.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about some of the guys that have moved on? We've been hearing and seeing some of the highlights, Shane Hanna scoring goals and stuff like that. How much contact do you keep with these guys as far as text messaging and whatever once these guys move on and are playing pro hockey?
And we actually, we have pretty good contact. I have good contact with them. I don't bug them. You know, they got their lives and things like that. But you'll drop them a note when you see something, or they'll drop you a note when things go well for us, or they hear something going on with me. So I think probably virtually all of them I've had contact with, and in the last 6 weeks at some point. I had a good talk with Jamie Phillips on Friday. He called and we had a great talk, and we've had talks with Matt Roy, and it's kind of neat that Tanner Kara was playing right now against Jamie's team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're going head to head right now. Their series was just starting on Friday. We have contact. That's the one thing. That's a great thing is when you get through with this, if you have the, you hope you're doing it as much as you can the right way, so you have relationships with these guys. They're not, it's not a hate. You have relationships where they're, where you're friends. And we were actually talking, I was with some friends this weekend at a wedding, we were talking, that's one of the most enjoyable things is when, some of my very best friends are former players, like my very best friends, like even players I coach in junior are now 40 years old, which is crazy. And have kids and families, and at some point, a lot of them, I was involved in, bringing them into an area where they met their future wives and things like that. So they're some of my very best friends.
It's always good to see guys score early or soon after they jump into the pros. We saw Joel Esperance and Mark Ock, had a nice first goal as a pro. Good, it got to feel good for those guys that must get them the satisfaction, or at least the mindset that I deserve to be here, and they certainly do.
Yeah, I got a call It was last Thursday or Friday from Tom Ceratori from Bemidji, and he was just kind of giving me a heads up to make sure we have our that game next year. I don't even know if it's announced yet. Is they're talking about it being, I believe, the Saturday night game, or maybe it's the Friday game, being an outdoor game, and it's going to be part of a big deal in Minnesota hockey or something like that. So they're going to set up outside. I don't know if it's going to be on a lake. I don't know where how they're going to do it. But once they announce it, he was telling me, and I think they were going to announce it relatively soon, that it's going to be a, make sure you guys have your hotels, because if not, we anticipate that the hotels are going to fill up quickly for the event. So I'm sure there's more than just the hockey game going around the activity.
Wow.
But anyways, he was telling me that that they had that one of his players, one of the Fitzgerald boys, I think he said Gerald, was playing, and he said they played against Joel Lesperance, and that he was absolutely incredible. One of the top players in the game, he said he was absolutely fantastic in the hockey game. So I haven't called Scotty White. You're just only bugging guys on trivial stuff,
You
know, to ask how's Joel doing. But, you know, a big man like that, I think he's going to have a very good pro career.
Well, Scott Whitey was we had him on the broadcast during the Notre Dame game in between periods, and he, though he couldn't say anything at the time, he was hinting towards, you know, Joel, and it just was really good to see him, you know, get going early and handling himself so well over there.
Yeah, he'll get a chance, I'm sure, to go to Dallas's camp. Mm-hmm. Dallas will have a new coach, Jim Montgomery, will be the new coach from Denver, you know, he'll have maybe some tendencies towards college guys. I'll probably hear from Monty at some point asking about him. And but I think Joel has a chance. I think he has a chance. I like the growth that he had this year, primarily in his awareness and his ability to make other players better. We would have that talk often that, you know, great players make the players around them better. They aren't just good themselves. They elevate the play of their line mates and things. And Joel found a way to do that. He found a way. His distribution got much better. We moved him to center so he could develop that part of his game, his overall lateral vision and things, and I think it paid big dividends for us, and I think it really helped him.
Going back to Montgomery getting that job, obviously a tremendous job in his 5 years at Denver, and he had been mentioned in the circles of possibly being a NHL coach the last couple of years, I believe. Obviously no surprise to you or to me that he got an NHL job.
Yeah, he was deep last year in the Florida job as well. I sent him a text because I had heard that it was going to happen. Like, and I thought it was going to be announced that day, but about 3 or 4 days early. And then he sent me a text back like, "Who do you have on the inside?" You know, like, because they were holding it.
I got you.
But you know, I didn't say anything to anybody. But he was, you know, good for him. He's done a great job. He's had success at every level he's been at. He lives life to the fullest for sure. He's got a lot of excitement about him, a lot of passion about him, and it's great. It's great to see that. I know when I got the job here last year at Tech, so many assistant coaches, many either called me or sent me texts and say we're pulling for you because they wanted to see the, you know, assistant coaches move up and do well, because that's good for them. That gives them opportunity because the trend was starting to go a little bit of schools going after like the Andy Murrays, you know, the Mark Havilands at Andy Murray at Western, Mark Havilland at Colorado College of going after pros and bringing, you know, pro hockey coaches down, those guys on the back end of their career and things like that. So the young guys, they want the assistant coaches. They want guys to go and do well with Grant Patolny's. Mm-hmm. You know, they want Michigan Tech to have some success and things like that. So we feel the same way. I feel the same way about a guy like Monty. You want him to, you know, you've got Haxel at Philadelphia right now. You got Blash, who did a year at Western Michigan, doing well for the Red Wings, and you want to see those guys succeed. So Monty, I think I'm quite certain he'll do really well. He has a lot of pro experience. I think he sells a good package. You know, I think he'll do a great job there. So. And you want that because you want guys and college coaches who are great coaches and have really, really grinded and worked their way up to have opportunities like that, and not just just guys that have really, you know, made Ben career NHL guys to keep retreading. You want, you know, Sullivan's, guys like that, to go in and do well. Danny Bilsma, you know, college guys. You want them to go and do well.
The question you always hear when you have a coach from the NCAA ranks moving up to NHL or vice versa is, how is the coaching different? I mean, it's got to be different. You're dealing with students and grades and then classroom work and all that stuff along with hockey at the college ranks, and now you're dealing with multi-millionaires, and it's got to be a completely different animal in some respects.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it might be a little easier transition now because of the amount of informational resources that are available to everybody. And what I mean by that is how college hockey was run before, with two and a half hour practices, with flooded in between and just grinding and then getting ready and then playing Friday and Saturday, always set, where pro hockey, runs 40-minute practices and play three or four times a week, mm-hmm. things like that. I think you used to see a lot of major junior influx into the NHL where they'd move up out of that avenue. But now I think they found, and I think through research and shared information, things like that, that there's more of a blend in how practices are run. And the big deal is the amount of time that they have with off-ice conditioning, off-ice trainers like Tyler Schlast and that. That's where they make up some of the other, instead of grinding it out on the ice so much. So they scientifically can determine heart rates and find out when guys are on the downside in a given day okay, now you're not helping them at all. They've reached their peak. Now they're trending the other way. So cut it off. So, 'cause now it's getting into reserve and you're marathon training now and things like that. So I think it's more, I think that the game is similar in how it's trained. And, I think the college transition is a lot easier. And I think part of the big change I think happened a lot with Bob Johnson and with Herb Brooks when they took the college model to the pro model and modified it and then came back and shared that with other coaches, and because they both obviously had tremendous success at every level. So I think they shared that. And I just think there's a commonality. And I actually think the college game has a lot of legs now, and I think you're seeing that in the amount of players. The teams that have a lot of success have a lot of college players, they seem to, although I don't think there's that much on Vegas, and they're having a lot of success. They went with older, experienced pros instead of developing a farm system. So I think in time you'll probably see that a little bit. But I think it's I don't think it's that big of a transition in any way. Now, obviously, the best thing I think would be to hire guys that have a chance that have had some pro experience and know how the pro game works. And some like even Blash, when he went up, he left Western and was an assistant right away for a few years for Babcock in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So he got to see and feel and learn the pro style. How do you manage it when you have game, your game day skates, mm-hmm. doing this, because it's different than us. We don't even game day skate. We have optional skates. We skate the guys that aren't playing. We run them for regular practice because we want them to continue to grow, and we want them to push the depth. But the guys that aren't playing, it's optional, and we don't want them out on the ice very long. And geez, the one time this year that we did have a pregame skate, we had a skate the day of the game. We got blown out by Bowling Green.
That's right.
So we said, that's enough of that. We're not, although we didn't play bad for the first part of that game, yeah. We just got blown out. So, that's just the way that we do it. But like most teams do have a pregame skate. But again, that just meshing, I think the pro game and the college game are very similar now.
Very good. We'll take a break. We'll be back with some of your questions. Also, we'll chat on with Coach about what the guys are doing right now. And, it's more of a Michigan Tech Hockey update coming up in just a moment. Right now, weather brought to you by Menards. From simple gardens to beautiful landscapes, turn your home from ordinary to extraordinary with big savings on the best selection of yard tools, landscape blocks, planters, fountains, gardening supplies, and much more during Menards' Mother's Day sale.
John D. John D. Today's going to be mostly sunny with a high around 72 and south winds blowing at 5 to 10. Overnight tonight, mostly clear, low 44. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few showers in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 60 degrees, and northwest winds at 10 to 15 will become northeast in the afternoon. For tomorrow night, cloudy with a good chance of showers and a low around 43. This is Mix 93 meteorologist John D.
We're all now more than ready for spring, and nothing says spring like bike riding. Buy your Trek bike now during the preseason sale at Cross Country Sports, and you'll get $20 to $500 off your new Trek mountain or road bike. That's right, $20 to $500 off when you buy a Trek bike now during this preseason sale while preseason lasts. See Cross Country Sports on Oak Street in Calumet for details. But hurry into Cross Country Sports before the snow fight ending the preseason sale.
Mother's Day, perfect time to let Mom know how special she is. It's time to introduce Mom to Maggie's Massage Spa Resort in Houghton. Time for Mom to feel fantastic and beautiful. Time for an incredibly relaxing and therapeutic massage. Has Mom had a pedicure, facial, aromatherapy? It's time! Maggie's has top-line home diffusers and essential oils that will help Mom feel better every day. A Mother's Day gift card from Maggie's Massage Spa Resort is the perfect gift.
It's crazy days all month long at Keweenaw Chevrolet in Houghton. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months on new Silverado double cab 4x4s or lease for only $229 a month. Both sales and service are open in Hancock at Keweenaw Buick GMC. We are your hometown Keweenaw GM dealership. Find new roads at Keweenaw Chevrolet in Houghton or online at KeweenawCars.com.
0% APR financing for 72 months is $1,389 per thousand finance. 24-month, 10,000 mile per year lease with $2,729 down with zero security deposit includes lease, loyalty, rebate, tax, title, license, and fees extra with qualified credit offer ends 5/31/18.
Smithfield Extra Tender Premium Assorted Pork Chops Econo Pack, $1.99 a pound. Fresh Red Ripe Sweet Strawberries, 1-pound packages, 2 for $5. Pepsi products, 12-pack cans, 3 for $10.98. National Shrimp Day is Thursday, May 10th. Todd's exclusive bulk, large 41 to 50 count, cooked shrimp, $7.99 a pound. Save now at
Todd's Econo Foods. Fresh savings now.
The following call is real. It took place between an OnStar advisor and a member.
OnStar emergency.
I was just rear-ended and I have a child in the car.
Does anyone hurt?
My son says his head hurts.
I have you at Central Avenue.
No matter where you are, you're never alone with OnStar.
I'll bring my partner on the line.
Okay, Ms. Bull, I am sent a first responder to help. How old is your child?
He is 4.
I know this was a scary situation for you, but I'm going to be right here with you.
My son right now.
Keep talking to him. Keep him alert.
I'm sorry.
No, that's what I'm here for.
An emergency medical dispatch certified advisor is there for you, ready to help, 24 hours a day.
Okay, it looks like the first responder's coming out.
Go ahead and speak with them. Please know we are here whenever you need us.
Thank you.
OnStar is available on Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. OnStar. Be safe out there. OnStar advisors certified by International Academies of Emergency Dispatch. OnStar acts as a link to emergency services. Visit OnStar.com for details.
Welcome back to the Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Joe Sean here on this, seventh day of May already, Coach. And March 23rd was the last game. Seems like, it was just a week ago. In some ways, it seems like a long, long time ago. But, we really haven't had a chance to chat since the Notre Dame game. And we had one show after, but we haven't had a chance to chat since the playoffs or the season was over for NCAA hockey. And your thought on Minnesota Duluth and the great job that they did.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome job. Two good teams in the championship game. We were fortunate to play both teams, and it was a good hockey game. I was impressed by the way by what Duluth did with, I believe they played 5 freshman defensemen because they had a big turnover from the year before and some guys signing. Obviously, Perunovic turned out to be an absolute star, college hockey freshman of the year. But it was impressive what they did. I thought they shut down Notre Dame pretty well in the third period of that hockey game and really didn't give up much. They did a great job. It was a good game, and it was, we were fresh with both of them, so it was good. I enjoyed watching it.
Do you think we caught we played really well in Duluth. We deserved to win that trip. Do you think we caught them though at a good time where they were still trying to feel out some of the younger guys that they had on that Duluth team? Or
I think we would have played with them after.
Yeah.
I think it could have turned out the same after that. Yeah. We were good enough to win. We probably talked about that. Maybe we didn't. My big deal is getting better every day, and building your thought process in that way, because you can't. There's things that you have to control. I guess what you can control, controllables. we were good enough to win the tournament. And we played, we performed. We performed down the stretch. Our last, you know, we won 5 road games in the playoffs on the road. We had some really good series near the end of the year there. We had a split with Northern, which was a really good series, home and home. We went in and split at Bowling Green, which we hadn't beat them all year. And I had a great 4-0 win there the second night that kind of got us going a little bit. We had a big second night against Bemidji near the end there to win the Winter Carnival at home. So we kept growing and growing. We were getting better. And had we gone 2 more weeks, we were literally getting better every day at the end of the year. Like you could see it. And you could really see some separation happening between the players that had the ability to elevate and the players that were struggling with elevating. So we were starting to really see that growth in practice and in game competition and things. So we were on a good trend. But we were good enough to win. We played Notre Dame, could have won that game. It was a great hockey game, I thought. Maybe pucks went in a little bit. I think that game kind of showed a little – pucks went in a little bit too easy against us, 2 shots from the point. A shot from the point in the power play where we miss a block. So the things that we continue to work on and things, you have to go address those. And we did, and we worked hard at them. But those are still the areas that we gave up. But after the game, I felt fine. The next day and the next day and the next day, I didn't feel so fine because that's when, for me, the disappointment that we were good enough to win it, set in. Those were hard days for me, about 3 or 4 after. But the initial, immediately after the game, I felt the guys played. Yeah. We performed. But then you know how close you were. And that's what you asked. And I said before, against Denver the year before, I didn't feel like we were ready to play. I didn't feel like we were ready to play at Denver's caliber, and we weren't. That was clear. We weren't. We could stay close to them. We could maybe, but we couldn't. We weren't at their level. We were at Duluth's level. We were at Notre Dame's level. We were certainly at Michigan's level. We were at everybody that was there. We were at that level. And on any given day, I wouldn't have bet against us. And I don't think that those teams would have bet against us. It wasn't like we were surprised to be there. We earned our way. So, I felt good about where we were. And we have to continue that and have that confidence. Hopefully there's a little bit of hunger in the bellies of our players going forward.
We don't have a ton of time, Coach, but we do have a couple of questions that have come in.
Is this a half-hour show?
It's a half-hour show.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, good.
So the question is, when is next year's schedule coming out, and are there any tournaments other than the Great Lakes Invitational that I'll be playing in?
No tournaments that are coming to the top of my head. We have a series with Clarkson in there. We have at Clarkson. We have a series with Duluth at home. We have a series at Wisconsin, and then the GLI. That's our non-conference. And I think Cal will be releasing it very soon. So maybe he's doing that in stages, or maybe he has a process he goes through with it. But I know we talked last week about he wanted to finalize some things and make sure things were set. So. That'll be coming up pretty soon, but I think you can go online and get a pretty good feel for what that is.
Yeah, and I can tell you, like as you mentioned, we do open up against the national champions, Minnesota Duluth, at home.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. The 12th to 13th.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Those are big pairwise points. Mm-hmm. So
next question is: would Joe consider utilizing the Iceberg Hockey Analytics software in the future?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that someone knows about Iceberg. The guy that's I think the main North American rep for Iceberg, I've met with him a couple of times. I can't recall his name, but he played at Finlandia, actually. But the guy that's selling it now, that's been hired to sell it, is a guy by the name of Ryan Kosecki, who played for me for 3 years in juniors.
Oh, yeah.
And we met away from everybody else for probably an hour and a half down in Florida at the convention last week. I'm still trying, and I shared that with Ryan. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around what exactly analytically I would want. You pay a lot. How it's broken down is it's all in a unit cost per game, and you buy a package per game. And I'm still trying to figure out what will best give me what information I want at the cost and how it can be streamlined. Cause I don't want to, like I told Ryan, I don't want to just look at a bunch of dots. I want it needs to, with information I get, I know what I use right now, and I've shared that everything for me works backwards from scoring chances for and against. Everything works into that. Puck possession time, how you get the puck, how you prevent it from going in your net, how you get it in the other team's net, you know, what goes into that. So I have that. These analytical printouts and sheets give you so much information that really all a coach wants is one sheet of it. Let someone behind the scenes that really knows what you do let you know, hey, I think this is a hot trend right now. This is that. But I want it. I just want what I want. And then to spread out from there and say, can you do this? But I've still got to figure out completely within the structure of how they do it and what they can do, how it would benefit us, and we're not just throwing away. I mean, it's a big amount of money, or else everybody would be using it if it was easy. It's a big amount of money because they set up cameras, and the cameras actually identify the player and do everything. There's no marking that goes on. It identifies the player in all the zones, picks them up, tells what they do. Then it's got logarithms that decide, okay, that's a turnover, and charts it to that player that it recognized by the camera. So you're not doing that. You're waiting to get that printout. It's about a 6-hour turnaround that the machine turns it back to you, the computer. So there's a lot to it. But, yeah, analytics, I've been using some sort of analytics statistics for a long time. And I think I was talking to Doug Cole, who's a big guy with the Exos Thunder, which is what is the mainstay now in the industry. And I think that I was one of the first ones ever to Doug kids about that anyways when I'm around. We're the first ones ever that really were high on digital, getting rid of the VHS, getting into digital instant feedback, instant marking type stuff. And I think I was one of their first open-end clients.
Next question for Coach. Coach, what about goaltending going into next season? What do we know, or what can you tell us?
Okay. What we have right now is we have Robbie Badun coming back. We have Matt Jurusik, a goaltender who played 2 years at Wisconsin. For a while there, Packy Munson was making it well known that he wanted to sign and he was ready to turn pro and things, and so he was pushing that avenue pretty hard. And Devin Carroll wasn't sure on what he wanted to do. Did he want to, in a lot of things, he was graduating from college. Did he want to keep trying to, keep playing here? Was he, was this the place for him? Was another option, because he could have been a grad transfer and played immediately, an option for him. So we went out and got Matt Jurusik because we needed to make sure that we had a guy that could do the job for us. He's played, like I said, 2 years at Wisconsin. Very good goaltender, played at Madison this year. So we have him and Robbie, and then it was kind of between Devin and Packy, and Devin wanted to come back, and I thought that Devin earned the job to come back through the end of the year. So Devin will be coming back to us. There's obviously much more that plays into it. I'm good friends with Packy. We had a remarkable discussion, a discussion that I wish would have happened during the year. I think it would have helped a lot of things if we would have had the same ultimate closing discussion during the year at some point, where we got many people involved and it was great. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely tremendous. So as of right now, what our three goaltenders will be for next year will be Devin and Matt Jurusik and Robbie Badun.
Next question. What were the coaches' meetings like in Florida this year, Coach? And any discussion of rule changes since last season was the end of the last 2-year cycle?
Rule changes. The big talk on rule changes was overtime, getting a nationalized overtime. What I get out of it is the consensus was that most leagues don't want gimmicky hockey, which is 3-on-3 shootouts and things deciding pairwise, is kind of what I got it. Now, what the NCAA wants is a nationalized format where everybody's doing the same thing. I don't know how that's gonna ultimately turn out. The consensus I got is that coaches and leagues, let's just say leagues, in the votes that they turned out, seemed more interested in at whatever point the game ends 5-on-5. Whether that be after regulation, then a 5-minute overtime like they do now, or just after regulation, then go to whatever they're going to go to afterwards. They want that to be the determining factor for the pairwise.
But isn't it now? I mean, the 3-on-3 makes no – if we score on 3-on-3 –
that's right, but they do want a nationalized system.
Okay.
So the message coming out loud and clear from the body is that whatever overtime, if they want to do a national system and they mandate the national system, that has no bearing unless it's 5-on-5 hockey on the pairwise.
Right.
So I think what they want to do is – how can I say it differently? Let's say we just play 5-on-5 up through 60 minutes. They want that to be where the pairwise will be determined. And whatever happens to that is only an individual league structure. But they want that standardized. The NCAA does. So let's say they go to immediately to a 3-on-3 and then to a shootout. That won't determine, there won't be additional points for the pairwise. And if there is, if the NCAA says, well, we're not just playing for the fun of it, like if we're playing to determine a winner, something's going to happen out of that. If there is, that be minimal, maybe like 60-40, where 60% of the pairwise value goes to the winning team and 40 to the losing team, versus right now, really nothing goes past the 5-on-5 portion of it. If they're going to mandate that it does, the NCAA, then the body wants it to be minimal.
Okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Oh, yeah. So there would be some weight.
But what they don't like right now is that all these, one team ending it, or one league ending it, another league going to a
3-on-3,
another team ending in a shootout. They don't want that. For us, we're like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, the leagues figure it out. Like, they figure it out. So that's my feeling on it.
All right, really quick, Coach. What are the guys up to now? I mean, the graduation, the school year is over with. What do the guys start doing now?
Well, they're home right now resting, and then they'll be back for track A working out. One more thing nationally, if we have time. One more big thing was the transfer rule. That was a big deal that they were talking about, where players could immediately transfer and be eligible to play right now, right away, which we thought was going to be absolutely crazy and was being driven by football and basketball. Because that, I mean, teams would be recruiting. You can picture right now Michigan, and let's just say Michigan, just for the fun of it, let's say Michigan. They'd have four guys sign early, sign pro contracts early, plus the graduating guys that sign, and they need to refill that with the best possible to put the best team available. They could come out and grab Mitch Ranke, or they could come out and grab this guy. And as long as they hit it through agents and advisors and things like that, then those players could go there and be able to play right immediately, as long as they had like a 3-point grade point average. That doesn't sound like it has the legs. The deal that triggered that, which we found out in Florida, and I don't want to get too long on this, what triggered it was, again, NCAA wants consistency. And what I found out there is there's 5 or 6 sports in the NCAA at the D1 level that you aren't allowed to transfer and play immediately. And those are the major sports: football, basketball, hockey, baseball was one of them. That right now, those are everything. All the other ones, like water polo or whatever, you can transfer right away, just like Division II and III, and play. The NCAA wants a standard. They want a standard. Well, they got huge kickback from basketball and football for the same reasons we're talking about. Like the mid AM conferences and things like that would be terrorized.
Yeah.
They'd be terrorized by their elite players would be stolen by the power conferences. So it got a huge pushback, I guess. And the woman from the NCAA told us, this isn't coming close. It will probably even go the other way, where they're going to say that all the other Division I sports are going to have to go to this non-transfer. They're going to have to come to our standard or something in between. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be the free-for-all that everybody was so worried was going to happen.
That is interesting stuff.
That's interesting. Yeah, I thought there's a lot of people I think would want to
absolutely.
That would want to know that part of it more so than the rules.
Yeah. Very good, Coach. I wish we had time for more. We're going to do this again, obviously, throughout
anytime
the summer.
Anytime you want.
People updated. Just have a great month of May.
Great, thanks.
All right, Coach Sean right here on Mix 93 WKNJ with a Michigan Tech Hockey Update.